Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, let's hold our hands up to say this. Let's say this together, holding hands. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Today, our eyes view Christ as He sees us Himself. He's glorified, and we're edified. We receive, in the course of this teaching, healing for our bodies, healing for our loved ones, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. So we are looking at faith and healing, right? Faith and healing. Faith and healing. Now, I want to also encourage us to follow on Thursday, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'll encourage us to, I'm going to be putting a link for 9 p.m. and I pray it's still on. Pastor Shedu is actually premiering one of his teaching, Healing in the Light of Our Redemption. He just started recently. So I'm going to be sharing it on our ministry group. Remember I told you to feed your mind with words concerning healing, right? So I'm going to be sharing it. He has been having that discussion, he has been teaching it for a while. I like premiering it on his Facebook page. So I'm going to be sharing it too, and I'll also send the link to Telegram. Hallelujah. What's that page might go up this week? So I need you to understand that. They go up today, sir. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Are we together? So let's flow. So make sure you listen to that. See, I told us to feed our minds, right? Right? Feed our minds on teachings or songs that surround healing. This period, right? While I teach you the word. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. If you are there, Jesus came and said to them, spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Say, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. He says, go make disciples. And we began looking at that word, make disciples. If that word make disciples, the word matitio is a word used for how you raise somebody, how you send a child to school. Matitio, from the word matitis, where you have an apprentice. So Jesus said we should go raise disciples, raise apprentice. Apprentice is one who is learning a particular trade. You don't become an apprentice and you are learning multiplicity of trade. No, you're learning a particular trade, a particular discipline. So Jesus said we should go make disciples. And we saw that word disciples, when Jesus used the word matitio, we saw those who became disciples of Jesus, right? We have the 12 disciples from different walks of life. Some were fishermen, some tax collectors, right? Carpenters, and we were his disciples. And we also saw in Matthew 27, verses 56, just a chapter before, we saw Joseph of Arimathea. Matthew 27, verses 57. It says, now, when evening was come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph. He himself was also becoming a disciple of Jesus. A rich man was a disciple. Or, I believe, a rich man is his disciple. Did you see that? He's his disciple. So it means that disciples is not for a particular set of people. I know that there are some churches where they have, some denominations rather, where they have discipleship class. When you join, when you go to discipleship class, after you are done, then graduate from discipleship class. See, you are graduating from SOE. Everyone in discipleship class, you wear other thing you wear. You wear apron. Is it apron? Okay, you wear gown. And I've graduated. What happened? I have graduated as a disciple. I am not a member. No. Discipleship is what happens forever. Hallelujah. This is what we have become in Christ. We are disciples. We are what? Disciples. Disciple is one who learns and is still learning and will continue to learn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's of the word mantano. Mantano. To learn. That is one who learns. So, a rich man learns. Do you see that? It doesn't matter who you are in the society. Tomorrow, have 10, 50 cars. Tomorrow, become wealthy in the society. Tomorrow, don't have money at all. You are still a disciple. I believe you. But they know I'm no longer a disciple, I'm not a pastor. You see your life? I believe you. No, we're disciples. Timothy is a disciple, yet is a pastor. I believe you. We are all disciples. We are all disciples. Hallelujah. And that tells us how discipleship will be done. Verse 19, it says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is how is the entrance into discipleship, right? Right? Which means to believe. Right? When it says baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we have that discussion. I've taught that. So it means to believe, right? Baptizing is not talking about water baptism there, but what? To believe when the word is preached. Verse 20, it says teaching them. So teaching them will now be how discipleship is carried out. How discipleship is carried out is what? Teaching. Teaching. So, teaching them to observe. Watch. Can you see that one? Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. It says, and lo, I am with you. That word means, and lo. Remember, I said there's something there. This teaching will be divided into two. And lo, I am. That word I am is the word ego am I in the Greek. Now, it's a word that is a verb that is a word that is a verb that also is a proper name. I heard it the first time from Pastor Shepherd. Hallelujah. It says a verb that is a proper name. It's a proper name. Hallelujah. And lo, I am. In fact, the way the other rendering is. And lo, I am is with you. Do you know that? I am is with you. Go with God. I am is with you. So that word I am is a proper name. A name that is reserved for God alone. If the Jews know that that name is reserved alone for God. Well, here, I am. It's not I am coming. No. It's this I am. Is God's name. In John, where I showed us last week and upper week, John chapter 8, verses 57. Verse 55. From verse 57, let's talk about 57. Now Jesus told them that Abraham in verse 66, that Abraham would just to see his face on Mount Moriah, and he was glad. Is that? And the goats, they were like, how old are you? You are not even up to 50. And you are saying, Abraham, I saw your day. You know, they dealt with the issue of age in verse 56. Verse 57. They said, you are not even 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. Did you see? You know, they turn this word. But that is not even the issue. The other man, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my getting there. You are not even 50 and you say you have seen Abraham. This is where they turned it. So that's not the issue. I follow you. So they dealt with that. That you never reach 50. Yeah, don't be jumped. No, something like that. Not a jump talk. Something like that. But in verse 58, they picked up stones. Look at verse 58. Verse 59. And then they took up stones and threw at him. Why? Is it because he said Abraham saw his day and was rejoiced? No, remember that I think they dealt with that. But look at what he said in verse 58. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, what Jesus said is not, you see, remember those of you who have been following our teaching on from revelation of God down to pneumaticals. Pneumaticals to revelation of God this year, pneumaticals to revelation of God, and what we are teaching presently, understanding the gospel. You discover that what I've been teaching us is on the fact that you must not read your day. You must not read scripture in your world. Ask that, you know, you should not read your world, what is happening in our today world, into scripture. Right? So we must understand the fact that when the writers wrote, they wrote in their world. Do you understand? So today, if I have to read it, is that before Abraham was, I have been, in existence. You might not be true, you might not be too wrong, eh? But that was not what made them pick up stones. What made them pick up stones was because it said, before Abraham was, I am. In fact, the way the King James put it is that they now put that I am in capital letter to make you know that it's a proper name. Do you understand? Before Abraham was, I am a Goemar. What does it mean? It means he's telling them that I am the God of Abraham. Remember, the Jews know their God to be the God. They know God, Jehovah, to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? Now, Jesus now says, before Abraham was, I am. Meaning, I am Abraham's God. Did you see that? I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of the 39 books. That is what Jesus is saying. I'm the God of the Old Testament books. From Genesis to Malachi. And they picked up stones. Because, why would they pick up stones? They pick up stones, that picking up stones is a sign of their judgment. To show that this is blasphemy. Do you understand? Are you following me? So they're like, this is blasphemy. Are you saying you are God? Did you see that? Are you saying that? But that is the fact of the gospel. Just if you read verse 26. Look at verse 26 before now. I mean chapter 4, sorry, verse 26. However, I keep calling, I keep making that mistake all the time. Chapter 4, verse 26. The woman asks, we know that there will be a Christ, verse 25. And when he comes, he'll tell us all things. Jesus now replies to her, I who speak to you, I who speak to you, I'm a he. This is that, I'm he. And I showed us that the way the Greek actually rendered that verse is actually, I am speaks to you. Meaning, you get it? I am speaks to you. That word is the word reserved for God. Hallelujah. 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 When he says, I am, he confesses on himself that he is the God of the scriptures. Are you following me? He is the God of the scriptures. He says, I am the way. Definite. Hallelujah. Proper. He uses that word for himself to show you that he is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He shows that he is God become flesh. He is God become flesh. See, I have something on my notes. I said, this is not just a claim. Jesus is not making a claim. No. He's not making a claim that he's God. No. But rather, that is the major fact. It's not just a claim. It's the major fact of who he is. It's not a claim I'm claiming to. No. It's not that I want to claim. No. This is who he is. John will write and say, and the Word became flesh. Jesus and dwelt amongst us. This is who God is. This is who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that becomes the major fact of our belief, that Jesus is God. It becomes the major fact of our belief. I am it. The major fact of our belief, that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Is it not a God, but God? You know, they're not the same. When you say Jesus is a God, they're not the same, but Jesus is God. Hallelujah. God. When you damn Jehovah wickedness or Jehovah witness, they'll tell you Jesus is a God. But Jesus is not a God, Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Hallelujah. Have you met them before? Hallelujah. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Not a God. Jesus is a way. He's not a way. He is the way. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Once a man does not believe Jesus is God, man is not saved. The man is not saved. The man is not what? See, that is the, see, that is the basis of our belief. Say Jesus is God. Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Send with every strength. He said without blinking an eye, Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John will say, the word became flesh. Paul will write and say, Jesus is Lord. In Philippians 2, he said, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He's God. Hallelujah. That word Lord is the word Jehovah. He is God. It's curious. Hallelujah. He's God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Don't blink an eye when you want to say that. Say with every strength. Hallelujah. You don't need Greek or Hebrew, Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Take it or take it. Amen. 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 Are you hearing me? Say Jesus is God.
Jesus.
Say it again, Jesus is God.
Jesus is God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So we began looking at one of the character of the I Am from Exodus chapter 15. And we saw the B part says, I am healed thee. I am healed thee. I am healed thee. Hallelujah. Exodus 15, verse 26. Glory to God. So that means one of the ways God wants you to see him is to see him as a healer. I am the Lord who heals you. To see him as a healer. To see him as a healing God. God wants to see him as a healing God. But if that word healer, I'm the God that heals you. That is the word Rapha in the Greek. In the Hebrew. Rapha in the Hebrew is a word used for a healer, one who cures. Is that one who cures? One who cures, not one who brings sicknesses. No, remember we dealt with that, right? We dealt with that. What is it? I will not put on you the disease that I brought on the Egyptians. Well, it wasn't God, right? It wasn't God, right? We saw that. There is no God that doesn't bring sicknesses on people. Hallelujah. Because the major fact that he is Rapha in those days is used for one who cures a sickness, not one who brings sickness. One who cures a disease. This is that. So God is the healer. God cures. Hallelujah. Are you following me? God doesn't bring sicknesses. God doesn't bring diseases. God cures them when they come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So there's no way in scripture. He wants to see him as a healer. There's no way in scripture where God is called a killer. No. No. He is a healer. And that is how he wants you to see him as a healer. Hallelujah. That's why he wants to see him as a healer. So wants to see him as a healer. Well, you know, some people try to place medicine, doctors above God. Please rely on the report of doctors more than that of God. Right? But no, God wants to see him as a healer first. Neither is God saying you don't need a doctor. No. I believe we're gonna, and I remember I said we're gonna see that as we go, as we progress, right? The place of medicine in healing. We're gonna see that. But God doesn't discriminate doctors. But yet, it doesn't mean you should not put your faith, you rely on doctors before. Hallelujah. Those who came to Jesus to be healed, they knew that they were sick. Right? If you come and say, so, for you to know you are sick, that means you visited the hospital. And you knew the name of the sickness. Have you? Aha. Glory to God. Glory to God. But God doesn't discriminate doctors. But yet, he doesn't want you to rely on doctors' report. Psalm 102, what we read, verses 2 into 3, last week, we saw that what God serves is healing. Let's look at Psalm 103 here. Psalm 103. 而是出于一个祝福。好像我们说 ，say bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Say bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not His benefits. That word benefit, we say, is the word used for what one gives, what one serves, right? Right? What one serves, what one gives out. Forget not all His benefits. Forget not what He gives. For He forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Did you see that? So what He gives out is what healing. He wants to be seen as a healer. First. So last time we began looking at how available is God to heal. How available is God to heal. How reliable is God when it comes to healing? How reliable is God when it comes to healing? You know, some people, you can't rely on them. They'll tell you they will do something and they will not do it. Right? But how can you rely on God? Can you rely on God? You know, like Gina today, you cannot rely on power supply. Right? Even when they used to put on lights, they too used to take their lights. Do you understand? Even NEPA office used to run on generator. Glory to God. So even get it, they are not sure of themselves. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. How can you rely? How available is God to heal? Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. How available is God to heal? How reliable is He to heal? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
How reliable is God to heal? That was what we done with it. Amen. God is reliable. God is alive. I was going to see that shortly again. God is alive. Amen. You know, these are things you have to say well, that those who are asthma fans will know that God is alive. You know, you can't rely on some clothes like asthma. They are destined to be mediocre. They are destined for failure. You can't rely on them. You can't. Just like nothing good can come out of them. Second class. Hallelujah. There's only one king in London. Hallelujah. Amen. The same way they can't rely on them. Share their plane to their head. No, not like European for them. Very soon they'll be playing with Cadiz. Hallelujah. But God is not like that. I can rely on Him. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 4, verse 23. Matthew 4:23. We were here last week. Right? Matthew 4:23. Can I depend on God for healing? Sure. Matthew 4:23. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of diseases among the people. What was He doing? He was healing all kinds of sicknesses. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's no sickness that is beyond God. Are you following me? There's none. He says all kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of diseases. Are you following me? All kinds means all kinds. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All kinds means every kind with the exception of no kind. Are you following me? Healing all kinds of sicknesses. All kinds of sicknesses. I told you to take note of what are the emphasis? All. Right?
Yes,
take note of what? All are the emphasis. In chapter 8, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon possessed, and He cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. He healed who? All who were sick. He healed who? All who were sick. So there's no sickness that escapes him. He's the healing God.
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Whether it is Ebola, COVID, anything, he's the healing God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
He's the healing God. He heals all. Amen.
Amen.
Irrespective of who they are, he heals all. They healed the multitudes, right? We saw multitudes, different kinds of people from different walks of life. And you know the funny thing? Eh? Half of the people he healed were the people that still came to handcuff him. They were the ones that said, "Shall crucify him." Do you understand? So, meaning healing is not just for the believers, it's for everybody. He healed all. They were not even saved at this point. In fact, they healed all. Are you following me? Is what God gives. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He healed all. He healed all. All of them. All of them. So then the reason why you are sick is because you are not saved. If you are born again, then you will be healed. No! Hallelujah. He healed all. Look at Marcus. The guy that came to arrest Jesus. You know, Luke gave us his name, Marcus. So we know him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know him, Marcus. He came to arrest Jesus. He came to arrest. And what did Peter do? Peter took out his sword. Pow! The ear. Took the ear. He saw his ear on the floor. He just picked the ear and put it back. And the ear was wet. He was hearing again. What about that? How about that for you? Hallelujah. He was hearing again. He placed the ear, that the ear balanced well. He didn't need to start looking for stitches, let's stitch it. No, he just placed it. He's a healing God. Hallelujah. He's a healing God. Hallelujah. You see, you might be sick. You know, you could have just walked and said, "That's all right. God don't catch you." You know, he can have said to that, "God catch you." Hey, share you want to arrest me. Thank you, Peter John. You know, it's easy to be Peter. Thank you. Next time, come on in there. Yeah, he wouldn't do that. No. He rebuked Peter for the action. But what did he do? He picked it, he had placed it back. Balanced well. No sign. Marcus, he said, "Yes, I can hear." He heard well. Right? He heard. But when he was done, after he was done doing the miracle, what did he do? He blew your hand in. And he had still uncomfortable. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Make me know how we'll come to that. God above sickness. He doesn't like to see anyone sick. He doesn't want to see anyone suffer in sickness. That's why he had to do the miracle. The only the miracle started was that healing people. No. Because he cannot stand it. God cannot stand sickness. So he heals it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He doesn't kill, he heals.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. You're done with COVID. Someone asked me, "Can't you see that God is punishing the world?" I said, "See, sickness is not from God. Did that COVID-19 is not from God. It's not from God. It's man-made. I don't expect to see. We knew where it came from. Don't you know? Don't tell Asia, it came from China. We know the lab where it comes from. So it's not God, it's man made. Hallelujah. Because it's not a funny word, punish how? It's man made, I'm on the deal. I open up on the deal. Hallelujah. So, but you know, God heals the sick. Hallelujah. God heals the sick. Irrespective whether man made or anything, God heals the sick. Hallelujah. We're going to look at that, some of those things, details, but go ahead. The place of Satan in sicknesses. Hallelujah. Are you following me? God has no hand in them. God doesn't. A young man was born blind, and he came asking Jesus, John 8:1. Whereby God, I don't understand how I'm going this route, but let's just continue. Hallelujah. John 8:1, are you there? No, John 9. I like John 8. John 9:1. Now Jesus passed by and he saw a man who was blind from birth. And the disciples asked him, say, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. That is, and I taught you that is where verse 3 ought to stop. That is the answer. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Then what he said next was talking about something else. Hallelujah. He said, that the works of God should be revealed in him, I must walk the walk of him that sent me by day. He's talking something else. He's not no longer answering that question. The question is, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Jesus healed the man. Do you see that? Hallelujah. In Acts 10, talking about Jesus. Acts 10. Verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. With the Holy Ghost. He didn't anoint him with the Holy Ghost and power. No. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost. And with power he went about. Did you see that? He anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power he went about. Doing good. Say, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Say, for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He healed them. Is a healing Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So Jesus healed all, irrespective of who they are. We all go and say, did you believe that I am the Christ? Do you believe that I will die for the sins of the world? No, there was no time for that. Or before I healed you, you must get born again. No! Hallelujah! The disciples in the book of Acts chapter 3, when they saw that guy, the gate was beautiful, they would have said, bro, are you born again? Who is your spiritual father? Which denomination do you attend? No! Hallelujah! They healed him. Glory to God. They healed him. Glory to God. God heals all. He heals all. Hallelujah! So if you look at Jesus' healing ministry, or Jesus' ministry, all these miracles, if you look at all of Jesus' miracles, healing formed 90% of all the miracles that he did. Healing. In fact, we could count other miracles that he did that was not healing. You could count them. But healing formed 90% of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Healing for 90% of it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because healing is a major sign that points to his work. We'll get to see that. Hallelujah. That points to his work. But we'll see that in the second segment. Remember I said we're dividing this teaching into two segments, right? That is the second segment. So we began last week looking at individual cases. Because what we have seen is heal them all, right? So the individual cases, which is what he did one-on-one, will tell you the principle that was in operation in the multitudes. I hear you. We'll tell you the principle that was in operation when you have crowd. Amen. Hallelujah. So we started looking at the individual cases. And we look at Matthew 8:3. When that guy asked him, he says, are you willing? Matthew 8:3. The leper. Are you following me? Verse 8. Then Jesus, verse 2. Behold, the leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you make me clean. When he says you are willing, sin. When he says you are willing, he's not saying, he says that what if you are willing means if you are ready. This is that. He knew, he had seen in chapter 4 that Jesus healed the sick, healed them all. Do you understand? He said, Lord, if you are ready, meaning, are you ready now? Are you available now? You get time. You don't understand the word. But, sir, if you get time now, or may I come tomorrow? Do you get? Are you willing now? And I believe. Look at what Jesus replies to. And Jesus' response is so that it will get to see why he responded to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He responds so that we will know how available God is to him. He makes us know how available God is to him. Right? What is Jesus' response? He says, I am willing. Be cleansed. I am willing. You know, Jesus would have just kept quiet, but he spoke. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am willing. That statement means, I am always ready. I am always willing. God is always ready to heal the sick. God is always ready to heal the sick. God is always ready to heal the sick. Hallelujah. Always ready to heal the sick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, God is always ready to heal the sick. And also, he made that statement so that a man's faith can be directed well. And I told us that faith begins when the will of God is known. Hallelujah. Faith does not act in a vacuum. No. Faith does not believe and unbelief. They don't act in a vacuum. Faith and unbelief, they don't act in a vacuum. They act on words. Are you following me? They act on what? Words. Information. The Bible spoke about Jesus Christ that he came to his hometown. And what happened? People go, is that not the carpenter's son? Is it not, is his mother not the one selling a car? I don't know what he came with this. You don't know this thing, mama. You get this bad luck. You don't know about this thing. Now what is my mother wear? You know what is it? That's the woman when you face on that door. Now you call this girl when fat like bones like this. Yeah. You see? That was what happened to Jesus. He had too many information about his empty life. And the Bible says he couldn't do any mighty works. He said he was marveled at their own belief. You see that? We'll get to see that shortly. The instances where Jesus was marveled, he marveled at unbelief and he marveled at faith. We'll get to see that next week. Hallelujah. Too many information. So faith needs information. Unbelief also acts on information. Are you following me? They don't act in a vacuum. They act on information. And that's why, as believers, we must mind what you allow in. We're coming to that. Glory to God. On information. You know those people? You know what was the goal? There's people that we have to. That's one day when they play with fans, they drive tire for road, that guy will kill one. Which of them? I don't know what was the goal. I don't know what was the goal. Now you will do anything. Now God, the young shall grow. Information. See that? Information. The same way. If, let's say for example, Dangote is walking here, you don't know Dangote. You've never seen him. And he's walking past here. And by mistake, he just gives you sugar. He just, maybe he can just jam it. What will it do? Some people who are mannerless will say, oh, shame. You don't go have respect. You know, some people say, old man like you, you are hitting small one. I will just dance to that in your proper ground. You know? So, do you get? But imagine the guy just hit you like that. And you come back. And someone just tells you, you know by the next time hit me again. Right? Say hit me again, no, hit me more. I am addicted to hitting. Just keep hitting me. It's my hobby to be hit. Hallelujah. You see? So information is power. Did I say that? Yeah. Information is important. Because faith and unbelief will ride on information. Ride on information. So, for the unbeliever,
You say faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Did I say this last week? Right? Right? We that are saved, for a believer who is saved, when you hear the word of God, it's going to grow in knowledge. Hallelujah. To grow in knowledge. You hear the word of God, so you grow in knowledge, so as to direct your faith well. To direct your faith well, right? To direct your faith well. To direct your faith well. Glory to God. To direct your faith well. So Jesus said it aloud well to the guys, that the guy will learn to, that the guy's faith will be directed the right way. I am always willing. Be cleansed. I am always willing. Be cleansed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the issue with some people is that they have too many wrong things about healing. They've heard too many wrong things about healing. Too many! Some people, their issue is too many information. You know, some people, they don't get joy when they know that they're not the only one having that kind of situation. Yes, some people don't have joy. At least, I'm not the only one that wants to sit in OPD. When I sit, there will be like 10, 15 people. In Nancy, bless me, Nancy, Nancy, so, ah! Permit me to use the word. I have the view. You too, you are coming to OPD. Oh, you are taking your VPT medicine. Ah! Sergeant! Sergeant, this is the call here. You know, you are not relating with the condition. You get some people like that. It's too many, you hear too many, you see too many wrong things you hear. Some people get comfortable when they see other people in the same human predicament to them. That is demonic. This is demonic. God never allows secret things. You should have that kind of thing. Because you went to hospital, you saw people there, you like, ah, that means. Are you following me? I heard someone one time was saying, when I went to the hospital, I'm not the only one having malaria. It's what is happening in town now. So you're not even having malaria. So it's just normal. What's about the last one? Ah. Yeah, it's just normal. You have normalized sickness. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So some people have too many wrong things about healing. And they will have to deal with it. And how will you deal with it with the word of God? That is why you don't stop hearing the word of God as you got it. You don't come and say, I have known it already. No, you have to keep hearing it. Hallelujah. You keep hearing it. Consistently. See, I told us about Reverend Higgins' wife. Right? Right? She had to keep hearing the messages. He kept hearing the message of Reverend Higgins. Kept hearing the messages. Consistently. And then when she went back to the hospital, she was told that she had a brand new heart. That was not the one that they saw there the first time. Are you following me? Are you following me? Sometimes you have to hear that message on healing again and again and again and again and again. And again. Some people with too many wrong things they've left. Sometimes they stay 30 years, 10 years on too many wrong things. So it means you have to learn that message, you have to listen to message on healing well enough. I told us about the woman that had an issue with the husband. Right? She had an issue of being pregnant. That she had to listen to a message. Why good things happen? Why bad things happen to good people? The moment she heard, she saw the title, she began to give expressions. You know, yes, this world is wicked. Bad things used to happen to good people. Well, that was not what was inside the message. So you have to listen well. Are you following me? You have to listen well. Listen again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes for people, the wrong things they know about healing is because of experience. Wrong, too many wrong experiences. Maybe that has happened to someone around them. Or maybe they are the ones that even have that illness. And they have stayed there for a long time. And they now take it as normal. You have to purge your mind of those wrong thinking. Are you following me? You have to purge your mind of them. Purge your mind of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I could remember there was a time where we used to have atmosphere for liberation. Remember atmosphere for liberation? Now the first year we had atmosphere for liberation. Because, do you know atmosphere for liberation? Eh? Have you done it?
I was going to hand you the last one.
Okay, the last one.
Okay, that's
cool. Now, atmosphere for liberation. The first time we started atmosphere for liberation, that was towards 2009 or 2008. That was placed down here. So, atmosphere for liberation, the way we started it was that we'll go to the hospitals. So the first time we went out, we saw a guy. The guy was using crutches. The guy was having stroke. He had a crutch. And it was for part of these guys that developed stroke because of the disbandment of Nigerian Airways. You know what Nigerian Airways is? You are ancient of this. Hallelujah. Nigerian Airways. That used to be our national carrier. Well, there will be a new national carrier by the first quarter of 2021. We don't know whether it will be called Nigerian Airways again. But that used to be our national carrier, like the motorway in the air. Glory to God. So, when they stopped them, this man developed high BP and then had stroke. And we went there to see him. On getting to meet the man, I told him, sir, because our key word when we come in or when we are to lay hands on you is that I will tell you, I am a spiritual doctor. I said that to you. I said this several times. I am a spiritual doctor sent from God to discharge you. So I will lay hands on you and you will be discharged. That's what I say always whenever we're going out for such people. So that was my. They have come to discharge you. But I never told the man, sir, the spiritual doctor, I've come to discharge you. Man was looking at me. Man asked my. That man must have been someone who holds a position in church because of how he spoke. But he knew some of the verses and the scriptures I was quoting. Hallelujah. By heart. So he's someone that has no, but they are taking it as faith that stroke has come to him. That doesn't matter. You will be healed and you will be discharged. I said, look at what he said. Then I was very young. I was just 19 or thereabouts. 1914 or early 20. And the guy was, you know, looking at me, I looked like his first son, or his second child, or his third child, or his age. Like, my son, don't worry. I'll be fine. That's how God wants it. God wants it to be that way for us, you know. And I said, no, sir. I was one of our brother. I said, no, sir. No. Sir, you'll be discharged. And I said, see, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, I started talking about it. I went, because I knew what was, I went straight. Started teaching what is faith. Faith is the response of the, if you know that teaching, faith is the response of the human spirit to the word of God. You have to act on God's word. So when the word comes, you act as he that though it's real. You know, I said, faith is what faith is. You act as if you know, I started listening to the hall of fame of faith. I was facing the floor because the guy wanted to discourage me. But I was like, I said, sir, do you believe? He said, yes, sir. I said, sir, you believe? No time when the boy at my back was already speaking in tongues. I said, sir, give me your hand. I want you to practice act three. And I did. I said, stand up! Walk. That's what the wife was not there, she might have restricted him. But he was the only one they know there. They said, you're going to walk. Yes, to the motion. I said, you're going to walk. When he was there, I pulled him on the other side. Move that leg. What am I going to do? I said, the man was not coming. He was breathing fast. I said, okay, calm down, sit down. Take your hand, put it in your mouth. Because it was having pressure, so put it in your mouth. Take it in. He tried, the moment the thing got to his mouth. Oh, the man was so happy. He wanted to put his one another. I said, leave that hand, take it off. We were, the man was happy. But like, I have not done this for months. I said, stand up now. Move your leg. He was limp. I said, that is it. The brother was sitting. I said, sir, that is it. Hallelujah. Yeah. We didn't agree. You know too much, how? Come on, move. And the man said, leave you. Maybe the next day the wife came in and saw what was happening from the door. Trust me, man. Hallelujah! All the doctors and hospitals didn't know what was happening. Came into, you don't understand. They all ran into the room. Because when we enter, we sneak. No, we're small, but we don't sneak. Because if you go indoors, it's not visiting now. So we want to be able to sneak. I sneak. Hallelujah! And everybody gathered. And then, stupidity in answer, and answer, they go sleep. Move! Move! Oh, yeah.
How stupid of me. Hallelujah.
I can't, how would you do that to me? Well, the guy was not limping. I was walking little by little. And
that was when I now knew that they told them they should go and buy a wheelchair. And the price of wheelchair then was high. They were owing them, they don't have money, and they had to buy a wheelchair. How are they going to get it? How would they be thinking of? I told the man, you are discharged. And in 2 days, I didn't give them time. Within 48 hours, the doctor will confirm with you and you have to go. So, a week later, I came there, the man was not there. But before we left, we took his address. So, when we didn't see him there, we went to his house. We then got to his house. The man, as soon as we entered, there was no, we didn't have, you were not there. So, as soon as we entered like this, the man seeing us, he stood up. And I said, my son, see, I can walk, I cannot touch my family before. Ah, look at me, I'm good. I'm serious. Hallelujah. And me and the brother were just rejoiced. But I didn't go back there again. And though the brother went, well, I told the brother I wasn't going back again. I said, why? I said, least I be exalted as God. That time, so I ran away. This, because everything that happened there, when they brought money, I said, I don't want. Imagine that. Brought food, I sat on my plate. I said, I love it. But later on, he told me, went there like twice, and the guy was perfectly fine. I said, thanks, please. But me, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most times, there's too many things you've learned. Too many things you've learned. Too many things you've known about why he needs to stay. I mean, why sickness has to escape? Like most times, I tell people, mind what you watch or listen or read on social media. See, Satan plays a long game, as Pastor Shelby will tell us. He plays a long game. So mind what you say concerning him now. Because you might not be sick now, but you will need it for yourself or someone tomorrow. So mind what you say now. Do you get? Mind what you say now. Be wise. Mind what you say. Mind what you listen to concerning healing. So people know how every miracle on TV is fake. They know it. When I say, how can one take concern? Do you understand? There was a time there's a man of God that was trending in Nigeria that was doing fake miracles and things like that. Do you know? My good friend was telling me about it. There was a guy I told him, please, I don't want to learn, I don't want to hear it again. But I go to YouTube, I said I can't go to YouTube to check for that thing. I didn't know what I know today, but I knew, I would be on the wrong place to be listening to such things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God that today I'm learning what I'm learning. Thank God you are learning what you are learning. But then I didn't know, but yet I refused to listen to anything wrong. There were different men of God that were said that they were performing. I didn't listen. I didn't listen to them. There's a pastor that I kept, I loved listening to. They told me his miracles are bad. This is my state. Who cares? When I say I don't listen to them, they will find a fight. Hallelujah. Mind what you listen to. Mind what you say. Because the things you criticize, you will never find it in your life and ministry. You're criticizing healing. How can you get it? What you criticize, you can't have it. You can't. So mind what you say. Mind those people that say those wrong things around you. Just keep their gap. Don't let them stay. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Be wise. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. So
Sometimes experience can give you, can make you have a wrong notion about healing. Look at Jesus and that guy. We're going to look at him next week, but let's just find it. By the pool. That was crippled for 38 years. Is it 38 years? Yeah. 38 years. When Jesus came to meet him, he was looking for water to be stirred up. That is actually a myth. It's a myth. It's not actually true. It's a myth that they have. That water is stirred up, an angel went out the water and stirred it up. It's a myth. Here, that was 38 years. He now became used to it. Jesus now asked him. What was his response? That I've been there. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And what was the response? I've been here 38 years, waiting for the water to be stirred. This is before I enter, someone else has entered. Is that what he did? He has become comfortable with this situation. Never get comfortable with sickness. Never get comfortable with diseases. Never get comfortable with it. Never get comfortable with it. You might have been around for a while, but never get comfortable with it. Never. 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 Always trust the power of God to be healed. Always trust in the power of God to be healed. Always trust in the power of God for healing. Always, always. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Are you following me? Always trust God's power. Do you understand me? Always trust God's power. Stop the wrong thinking. Stop the wrong information. Because wrong information will bring wrong thoughts. Are you hearing me? Wrong information will bring wrong thoughts. And wrong thinking does not produce faith. No. Wrong thinking produces unbelief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wrong thinking produces wrong believing. Wrong thinking produces wrong believing, produces unbelief. Wrong thinking. And wrong thinking will come from staying with wrong information. Mind what you see. Mind what you hear concerning him. Sometimes wrong thinking or wrong believing can also come from wrong interpretation of scriptures. When you wrongly interpret scriptures, it can come from there. Hallelujah. You look at what we just said now, that God abhors sickness. We just said it now that God is always willing to heal, right? But I would say God is always willing to heal. You know, some people, that is not their case. What they have come to believe from scripture is that God gives some people sickness to deal with them. Some people, when they come to believe from scripture, wrong belief, wrong interpretation of scripture, it produces wrong belief. When they come to believe that sometimes God wants to humble you because you know too much, he will not fire you sickness. That he will make you humble. No. No. God is a Rapha. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Some people think God sent sickness to make you humble. No. And when you ask that, they will call Paul. Paul. God humbled Paul with sickness. Let's look at Paul. Let's look at where they read Paul. You know, they will say, God sent sickness to Paul so that Paul will be humble. That Paul will not be too, that Paul will be humble. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Woo! Glory! 2 Corinthians 12. Are you there? I'll read from verse 7. Look at what Paul says. At least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. Look at what he does say. By the abundance of revelations. He says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measures. Stop. They say this is sickness. Did you see Paul mention God there? Yeah? Let me tell you how I used to believe these scriptures years back. And that affected me for a while. Until
until my charismatic nature led to go to that scripture and treat it because I didn't understand it at first. I was putting it to one side. Because that was one part of the scripture that gave me, oh my God, what is this? Do you understand? Because earlier on, when I've heard someone, I said this during one of our teachings recently, understanding the gospel, they said, the one teaching, I mean, someone that I respected one day said, see, sometimes God gives you, someone that I respected, God gives you sicknesses that will stay with you for a while, so that you will learn, so that you will not backslide. Hey, imagine that for a rema. Did God give you that sickness so that you will always be drawing close to Him? So look at Paul. Paul had that sickness. So that every time the thing hits him, you just remember my grace is sufficient to draw him to God. Imagine that for the revelation. Imagine that. Those are the kind of notions that I had earlier on. Earlier on means years back. Before we started ministry. So I felt, and that made me a bit comfortable because my dad was always in and out of the hospital that period. So I thought, well, maybe this is to keep him, to keep us on track. No. That made me weak not to be able to do anything. You understand? I followed him. So like, he was maybe that. Maybe this is a uniting factor to unite us to pray more, to make us, to draw us closer to God. This is, but that is his own interpretation. Let's even look at what Paul was saying there, so that we will have the right interpretation to see whether it was. No, Paul didn't mention God though. Did you see that Paul did not mention God? So number one, whatever thing that was wrong with Paul had nothing to do with God. Did he mention God? Did he mention God? No. So it means that whatever thing that Paul is describing here has nothing to do with God. But God's own place is when he said, my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Did you see that? So let's see. What is he talking about? When Paul says, turn in your flesh. See, Paul was not inventing something new. Turn in the flesh is a figure of speech. Thought in the flesh. What is the figure of speech? When a person, when a sentence is not possible, the figure of speech is intended, right? That is the easiest way out for a baby Christian. Permit me, right? We want to know what is figure of speech. When a sentence is impossible, figure of speech is intended, right? Right? Even if you don't know anything, you can do it. The cloud is pregnant. You say, remember. The cloud is pregnant. The cloud is pregnant. You don't take it literally. You should return all your school fees. Yes, now. You should return your school fees back home. You should know that it's a figure of speech because the cloud cannot be pregnant. Right? Right? So let's look at that. When he says turn in your flesh, it's actually a figure of speech. So, and Paul is actually making use of a word. That word, turn in the flesh, is used together. Making use of a word that is available in their day. So, when they hear turn in the flesh, all of them know what it means. And you will be reading from the Old Testament books, turn in the flesh. Do you understand? When I tell you you are a turn in my flesh, what does it mean? Am I telling you you are a sickness in my body? I'm not going to say I have sickness. When I die, doctor say turn in my flesh. Have you heard that word? The mother used to tell them. When you hear that word, what does it mean?
A disturbance.
Turn in my flesh. Disturbance? There is pain in my neck. What did you say? Just look at turn in the flesh. So Paul is borrowing a figure of speech used in the Old Testament books to explain what is happening or what is happening to him. Hallelujah. Now look at it. He goes back to Numbers chapter 33, verse 55. Numbers 33:55.
Are you there? He said, if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, inhabitants of the land, is it people or animals? Inhabitants of the land, is it people or animals? People, right? You don't drive out the inhabitants of the land from you, then it shall be that those who you let remain will be irritants in your eyes, and thorns in your side. Then they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. You see? So you use the word thorn in the side. You see that thorn in the flesh, thorn in the side. Who did he call thorn in the side? Human beings. He said they will harass you. So that means that word there, thorn in your side, is used for people. And it's used for what? They will harass you, means they will persecute you. This is that persecution. It's used for persecution. Are you following me? Eh? Joshua 23:13. It says, know for a certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from the good land which the Lord your God has given you. He calls it thorns in your eyes. And it's used for what? People, a nation. Right? He calls a nation thorn. And it's used for persecution. For what? Persecution. Are you following me? Persecution. Judges 2:3. It says, Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but there shall be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. Persecution. I started to think about people. So, the word thorn in the flesh is used for what? Persons. Individuals. So, what Paul is referring to as thorn in the flesh is used for people. Talking about persons, about people. Right? And is used for what? Persecution. Guys, now, is it sickness? It's persecution. Are you following me? Persecution. Sickness. He now qualifies it. Now says, another bros. Somebody that I listened to very well. He used to teach me scriptures. There. He now says, see, God now sends small devils to be beating up Paul. He said, that sometimes God will not put some devils around you. Imagine that for a rema. God put devils around. God, devils. God will put some small demons to be giving you sickness, that will be increasing sickness, reducing it, now you will slay to be hungry. Look at rema. So that is deep calling. You know, the deep calling to the deep. Hallelujah. Is that not rema? God sent Satan, small demons. Ah, the things I've heard. You will never hear it. As in, I have went on like, ah, God. That means, if I know scripture to a certain level, there might be small demons.
Ah, okay. Paul now qualifies that thorn in the flesh. He now calls it what? The angel of Satan. This time, that's what he calls it. Hallelujah. He calls it the angel of Satan to buffet me. Hallelujah. That word buffet there is used for to torment me. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Ooh, God. To torment me. Now you know the word angel of Satan. That word angel of Satan is the word in the Greek, angelos satanos. Now that word angel is the word angelos. Angelos. A word that is used for spiritual being. Spiritual being. Angel. Hallelujah. A word used for spiritual being. Angels. Okay. It is also used for men.
Not just for angels,
it's used for men.
The word
angels is also used for men. Let's see where the word angel and angelos is used for men. Let's see what it's used for men. Look at Matthew 11 verse 10. Matthew 11 10. Are you there? Speaking about John, look at what Jesus said. But what did you go out to see? Verse 9. A prophet? Yes, I said to you, I'm more than a prophet. But this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger. That's the word angelos. Behold, I send my angel before your face, who will prepare your way before you. He was using it to refer to John the Baptist, John the prophet. And he called John an angel. Right? Calls John a messenger, angel. The same word, messenger, angel. Hallelujah. Angel. Angelos is used for one who carries out a message, carries out an assignment. Genesis, so it's used for both supernatural beings or spiritual beings, not supernatural, spiritual beings, and what? For men too. Hallelujah. 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 In Matthew 16, verse 27, it says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of the Father with his angels. And then he will reward according to his works. According to his works. Hallelujah. He uses angels for his messengers. His messengers. And there, in that scripture, not going to be back to that. That scripture is referring to men. Hallelujah. But making reference to men. Making reference to men. Galatians 1:8. Galatians 1:8. Are you there? It says, but if we or an angel from heaven preach any gospel to you, that what we have preached to you, let him be. Now, when you use angels, they are not referring to spiritual beings, they are referring to a messenger. Somebody, if we or any other person preach another gospel to you, say, let him the person. Do you get? Let him. Be accursed. That word accursed means to keep that person from you. You don't know that. Let them be kept far from you. So anyone who teaches you another thing, don't come close to them. Let them be kept far from you. That's the word accursed, anathema, put away from you. Do you understand me? Look at chapter 4, verse 14, Galatians. Paul needs you to see this, and he calls himself angel. Say, and my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject. But you received me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Paul is called an angel, a person. Do you get me? Are you following me? In James 2:25, it says referring to Rahab. He called, using Rahab, he said some of them that ain't angels. He was referring to messengers. Do you understand? Was referring to messengers and he called angels. So he called messengers angels. Rahab, the spies. Jonathan, he called them angels. In Revelation 1, verse 20. Revelation 1, 20. Are you there? Say the mystery of the seven stars. Listen. The mystery of the seven stars. Which you saw in my when now can you say when you say the mystery of the seven stars is not the explanation, right? The mystery of the explanation, right? The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. You say the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. But you know what angels of the seven churches, you're not referring to every church has a spiritual angel. So when the service is going on, there's a spiritual angel called Saint Pavilion Church standing at the door.
just do like this. Say Pavilion Church angel. Because you guys are not plenty. The angel is short and does not have muscle. Hallelujah. No, that's not what he's saying. He said the angel at the church. He said the angel of the church, of the seven churches. So when you use the word angel of the seven churches, it means the pastors of the seven churches. Look at what Paul, if we now get to chapter 3, now say, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. So that means Paul was writing to angel. Okay. The angel called, the angel that stands at the door of St. Pavilion Church. I want to write to you a letter. So the letter I wrote to physically, who would I give to the angel?
Can you see where I'm going to?
When he said to the angel at the church of Ephesus, write. It means to the pastor at the church of Ephesus. Are you following me? So the pastor, he writes. Hallelujah. Verse 8. He said to the angel at the church of Sinna, write. The angel, meaning the pastor. So he refers to people as what? Angels. Are you following me? People as angels. A messenger, one who carries out an assignment. Do you get it? So Paul now said this messenger that buffeting is not a messenger that carries out the assignment of the good news, but we call it the messenger of what? Satan. That is in Angelo Satanos. You know what I mean? That is the word Satanos. Satan. So this is not angel of the gospel. It's not the preacher, but what? One who is carrying out the assignment of Satan. Do you get me? Now, when you use the word Satan, Satanos, that word Satanos is a word used for opposition. Not always, Satan is devil. In scripture, it's not all the time that the word Satan is used for devil. I want to say, why is Satan used for Satan? What is that Satan is used for the devil? Are you following me? It's not all the time. It's also used for men, used for opposition. We're going to see that now. Hallelujah. I give an illustration with Matthew 16, verse 23. Look at it, Matthew 16, 23. Amen. Hope you are learning something. You will see the reason why we are going through this one. Matthew 16. This is Jesus and Peter. Matthew 16. Okay. 23. I'll start from 21. You know, after Jesus was done commending Peter in verse 17, he said, that was Peter. Flesh and blood, they don't reveal this to you. You know, after he was done commending Peter, you know, Peter was already, you know why? I'm the class captain of the area. You know that? When your pastor is done commending you, they are done clapping for you, you're not feeling like you know the in-depth knowledge I have. You know the in-depth. I can give you the Greek, the Hebrew, the diameter, and then I'll give you the art. Yeah, I know the apocalypse and the Now after he was done commending him, look at what Peter did, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to tell, to show his disciples what things he must suffer in Jerusalem. That he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. You know, because he feels they just commend him. Started rebuking him. Far be from you, Lord. This thing will not be for you. You know, it's good. You know, what I mean is good. If you look at it from our today world, it's he likes Jesus now. Shake it. He likes Jesus. He doesn't want Jesus to die. Far be from you. I reject them. No, my dear. It will not happen to you. No! Your years shall be like the eagle. You will live long. You know, good prayer. But you know, Jesus told him in verse 23, he says, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Hallelujah. So Jesus did those two things. He shows you the one behind the sentence, right?
But at the same time, he says, get behind me, Satan.
I didn't have the illustration, I want to do it again. Come. Where are you going to use for the last illustration? Were you around when I did the illustration? Okay. So, who did I use for the last illustration? The Benjamin. Okay, the last one. I'm never consistent. Were you going to be around this? Was it you? They thought that was the body of a pastor. Yeah? Yeah, the one. Which one of these supporters? See what it says? It says the word Christ.
Christ.
Okay, Christ. Can you see Christ? It goes before you fall. You know how it is, right? How many of you remember what I taught you in study on Corinth? Some say I'm for. Some say they are for who? For Jesus. They want to feed their audience. Shame on you. In fact, I should use you because you are the Satanos. Now, do what you did that day. Now, this is like continue. I don't have to stop. Nobody is doing us. Now, it's like it's not happened to you. Do you understand? And Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Right?
Yes,
right? Now, what Jesus has done was not to call him himself Satan, but what he did was that he tells him, get thee behind me. Get thee behind me is a word he used for discipleship. It's not cast out. You know, some people use it very well still. Some people use it very well. Get thee behind me, Satan. No. The kind of thing that whichever thing you are trying to get it behind you should be your disciple. Do you know what I mean? Now that word, get it behind you, is the word used for discipleship. That is, disciples should be found behind the teacher. Do you get it? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
But what he was doing was he was confronting his teacher. He tells him, hey, get it behind me. The word for discipleship. Do you know what I mean? Then he addressed that opposition, that is, he was telling him, he was opposing him, right? Opposing what he had said. And he calls that action Satan's. So Satan is an opposition. You understand? If you see devil around them, but he shows you that Satan is an opposition. And the work of a disciple is what? Behind. So he tells him, take your place, you are a disciple. Stop accusing. Be a disciple, not an opponent. Did you get that? Did you get that? So Satan is used for opposition. That was Satanos. There is used as a verb for opposition. Get the behind this. Do you get the verb? Opposition. Are you following me? Are you following me? Opposition. Now that, and I never said it's no use for the devil. It's used for the devil also. Right? I didn't watch what I said and what I did not say. You didn't know it well. I don't swore and I said my pastor said Satan is not for me, does not mean devil. I said it's used for the devil, right? But not always used for the devil, it's used for opposition, right? Hear me well, oh, I'm gonna quote me outside. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he calls Peter's action Satan. And that disciples should be what? Behind. So in discipleship, you stay behind and you follow your pastor. Do you understand? You follow your didactic, your teacher. In 1 Corinthians 5:5, he says something, he says, deliver, 1 Corinthians 5:5. Don't get what I'm saying, he says, deliver him to Satan. What are we going to deliver to Satan? Okay, professor, what's your father? There's a brother who had the mother's wife. That's what I'm saying. So all of we are together.
It's good to know that you will end the war. Not set up for 2 hours now. Hallelujah.
Barabbas.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And the one that said the church in the Bible school.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The church of the Bible school again.
So you are learning Bible. Is it not Bible you are learning?
Yeah. You don't come to hear better history. Okay. Let's move on. Let's do together. 1, 2, go. When he says deliver such a one to Satan, does it mean or not say run carry that one? No, deliver. If we read that in our today world, with the way people think, I'll carry that one and start putting on my neck. What are we going to do? I'm going to Shambush, right? Yes, sir. Right? Shango, I am taking. That was when you deliver him to Satan. How about that for an interpretation? was that what Paul said?
No.
Paul said, but if you read that in our today world, I mean Paul is saying you can call Satan. You, I deliver you today. Sit down! Sit down! Come. Take her. No! Hallelujah! I said something related to that to some people I was teaching years back. I was in school. And I just see somebody and I just thought, come for peace. And then I'm teaching you! Here! Humbly. No, that was not what Paul said. Let's say deliver to Satan. No, doesn't mean you should carry the person and now take the person to Amadioha. That's Amadioha. You now make the trip and say, the Bible says we should deliver such a one to Satan. I've brought him here as a peace offering. That you deliver him for me to know. Now, when you hear the word, remember it says Satan wants to use all opposition. Right? When it says deliver such a one to Satan, it's saying give that one an open rebuke. Remember, it's used for an opposition. You oppose that one immediately with a rebuke. What was Peter doing? He was rebuking Jesus. Right? Was rebuking him. So Paul says, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the body, for the what? Saving of the soul. Right? So what do? It means give that one open rebuke. Immediately rebuke that one immediately. Now, when you rebuke that act, when you rebuild that act, do you know what you are doing? You are delivering that one to opposition, that is delivered to Satan. Are you following me? Are you understanding scriptures now? In First Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, Paul now talk about two guys. Their names are Hippolytus and Philetus. Now, they were saying some wrong things. First Timothy 1:20. Say whom are they were saying wrong things that okay, hallelujah. Now, there were saying things like the resurrection is past. So, Paul in verse 10 answered, of whom are Hymenaeus and whom are Hymenaeus and Alexandra? Sorry, I call Philetus. So, Hymenaeus and Alexandra, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. How do you deliver them to Satan? He rebuked them. Open rebuke. That is the delivering to Satan. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? You deliver to Satan so that they will learn not to blaspheme. So Satan is used as an opposition. So when you hear angel of Satan, will mean man of, no, angel of men, right? Angel in this context is men. Men. Satan will be opposition. So can we call them men of opposition? Will that be persecution? So what Paul was describing in 2nd, look at how it took us to explain 2 Corinthians. And it's important. Hallelujah.
Because wrong thinking produces wrong believing. So you need to learn the direct, you need to interpret scriptures the right way. Are you hearing me? So what Paul is saying is that the thorn in the flesh is what? Persecution, right? And he qualified that persecution with what? Men of opposition, right? Men who oppose the gospel. Are you following me? Are you following me? So it's not actually sickness. Hallelujah. The same thing too, you find that too, you did it. The same thing too, you find people say Paul had, you know, we are discussing how people would, yes, or people would think or believe that Paul had an incurable sickness, right? We've seen that the one in 2 Corinthians is actually persecution, not sickness, right? Another one again will be Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. Verse 13, sorry. Galatians 4, 13. Galatians 4, 13. Wrong interpretation of scriptures. Imagine teaching children that, see, that God made some people poor and some people rich. That God made some people, you know, this wrong from a childhood, something is different from wrong. You know that is wrong. God made some people rich, some people poor. So you now think poverty, you were born poor, say something made some people poor, that they will learn, that they will learn to be content. Are you okay? A little child. So you expect that child to not grow up like that. See, the riches and poverty is man's choice, it's not God. Do you get? God doesn't make anybody rich, neither does God make anybody poor. We'll discuss that sometime later. Hallelujah. God doesn't make anybody rich or anybody poor. It's man's choice. Time and chance. Do you understand? Time. Some people have money. They took it to where? Santos. And they closed down. And they suffered shipwreck. Do you understand? And some of them became poor. Glory to God. Will you say it's God that made that one poor? Santos. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's not a joke. The people took their money away from Ponzi. And Ponzi closed. And they became poor. Is it God? Why do people have the money and invested rightly? See, yes, people have the money and invested rightly. They invested where? Glory to God. They invested where? They met the right people to give them the right percentage. They were not hungry people looking for 200% in 1 month. Hallelujah. And they surpassed it, right? You are now teaching a child. The reason why you don't tell the child from a little boy, telling the child that prosperity is when you have car. Even you that you are saying it, we should be asking, are you alright? Do you understand? Wrong thing. And they will tell you some Bible. And now tell you, God made Lazarus poor and the rich man rich. The wrong interpretation brings what? Wrong. Question is, when did you see the next one? The word I think it out. Hallelujah. Even your work, if you have opportunities and you are next to opportunities, and the opportunities went right for you, you make money, you cash out. Hallelujah. And you make good news. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah, simple. Go to school, learn the right things. Even if there's no school to go, just carry yourself into your tutu or get your high school, get your grammar school. It's free education, free food. Never one moment of Nigeria. Free food. UPE, Sudan. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am not trying to slight anybody. No, I'm saying it because I need to correct that here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. If you cannot pay for novena, if you cannot pay for novena or for Okoye University, no, don't only. Just walk down. Go and do evening school somewhere. Do adult education. Learn it and get a degree. Walk into a National Open University. Walk and read. You get the same BSc. Don't know what will be private, what will be federal. Are you hearing me? Come on. Don't tell me there's no opportunity. See, I meet several people, and when they keep telling me that school, I'm trying to raise money, well, I don't know if I can make it in school. I say, are you well? I've been writing jam. This jam has been jamming you. Jam. Jam it! How? Go to national. Was you write jam for to school? Go to national university and get to school. Go and buy part-time for you and go ahead. Jam is not going to get a move. You spend 4 years, 5 years, jam. Go to where you don't write jam, get your certificate and move ahead. Get a certificate, use it, get knowledge, acquire it, make money. Be big. There's no excuse for poverty. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I wonder what I got here. Galatians 4:13. It says, you know, because of the physical infirmity, I push the gospel to you. I mean, you know that because of physical infirmity, I push the gospel to you at the first. At the first, physical infirmity. Now people look at that and say, Paul had a physical infirmity. It's a sickness. No, that is wrong interpretation. He said, now how would you know it's wrong interpretation? Like, Paul was not talking about sickness in his body. He said, when I came to you at first. So question is, how would I know? Right? The question is, how did Paul come to them at first? Right? That means I will have to look at when Paul visited this church and see what he knew was wrong with Paul. And the book of Acts helps us out. In Acts 14, verses 19, Acts 14. Acts 14, 19. I'll read that fast. Okay, take it. It says, then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Did you see that? They stoned him. This was somebody that some few minutes ago they were calling him God. This is Zeus. This is God. This is God. Because of the miracle that he did. They started worshiping him. All of a sudden they heard information. Wrong news. Right? Fake news. What did they do? They picked up stone and began to stone him. Mob action. People began to stone him. This stone here we're talking about, not stone you used to do. What do you want this thing? It's not a kind of stone. Stones. And they stone him. You know that kind of stone? It's not the kind of stone. It's stone that will hit your head, your every part of your body. Stoned him and they took him for dead. You know what they did? Meaning, at a point they couldn't move. Have you seen when they beat people to pop? Have you seen they beat people as in mob action? Have you seen a mob action before? I give an example of what is this, Adam? Those guys in Portugal, what is that? Yeah, the Aloe Boys. When I saw that picture after they ran on them, after they, you know, they are, when I now saw their real picture, I was like, come. If they don't even look like because they were beating black. As if they were beating their face changed. Do you know that? You know what I'm about to. You serious beating. You want to know what it is? Walk inside the shabby. Just steal somebody something. Just carry what belongs to me. Hey, you shout. Oh, before you shout in the face. Before delay. Before you know it, somebody has thrown tire. Tire that is not thrown at all. The thrown is woo. Somebody has caught it. Pia. Fire. Pia. They will be beating, slapping, blood everywhere. That's more passion. If you are in that position, you see people like you.
God will beat you hell. That was what happened to Paul. They took stones and they were stoning him. Heavy stones. I gave an illustration that it's not all this kind of stone. I don't stone, but I don't know.
And go.
No! You will set the head. It's not so. That was what they did to Paul. That was what they did to Paul. And that was what he was taking for them. That means his body must have been disfigured. That was why he told them physical infirmity. His body was disfigured. He says that Hallelujah. Hallelujah. More passion. That was what they did to Paul. They beat him blue black. Then verse 20. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. That was how we got to them in Galatia. Do you understand? That's how he got to them. Hallelujah. That's how he got to them. So that was the physical infirmity. So the physical infirmity is not sickness. You are thinking he's sick, and then you too should be sick. Physical infirmity. Maybe when he came to them, his eyes were not seeing openly. Maybe his eyes, his socket were already beat. Maybe his nose hasn't been disfigured. Maybe his mouth, his teeth were taken off. You know, maybe his teeth. So, you know, his stone, they might have stoned him, his nose, everywhere. Maybe when he got there, they were sticking all over his face. He says, you know the physical infirmity. When I came to you, hallelujah. Are you following? So it's not sickness. Paul was not confirming that he had sickness, that he was discarded. No, talking about what happened to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when he visited them, it means that he visited them disfigured with bruises, with weaknesses in his body. That means those bruises might have disfigured his body. His body was no longer as it was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means, what Paul is preaching here, why I showed you all this, so that you have the right belief. There was no point. There was at no time in the scripture that sickness was accepted as the norm. So Paul didn't accept it. Paul, what he was talking about in 2 Corinthians and in Galatians was not sickness. He was talking about persecution. Can you see? We're talking about persecution, not sickness. No sickness at all. Persecution. So at no time was sickness accepted. No time. So a believer shouldn't accept sickness. Amen. Amen. So before we round up today, so that from next week we'll begin to look at those individual cases one by one. Let's see how the apostles treated sickness. How did they react to sickness when they see it? How did they react when one is sick? You didn't take it as a norm. No. No. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Paul told Timothy to take water, take wine for his often infirmity. He told him to take wine for his often infirmity. Now, see, Timothy was always falling sick. Do you know that? And because, you see, Paul never wanted, he showed that Paul didn't want him sick. So they told him to take wine. They said, rather water, take wine. So some people now ask, is what kind of wine? Is it grape wine? Is it 2%? Is it beer wine? They're nowhere. Don't get into such nonsense. Because the word wine, that word wine, that should be the word onion in the Greek. That word wine, if you look at Luke 10:34, when Jesus gave that parable of the Samaritan, the guy that was beaten by, that was robbed, what did Jesus say the Samaritan used to cure the guy? He said he used oil and wine. So that means wine in that day is used for medicine. You understand? So he's referring to medicine. Do you understand? He's not talking about, see, your wine shares you should go whether it's grape wine or which wine. No, he's talking about medicine. So he tells you to take medicine. Tell you to take medicine for the sickness. That means sickness is not what you should allow stay. Do you understand? Don't allow sickness stay. Do you get? Don't allow sickness stay. Don't. Never feel comfortable with sickness. Don't feel comfortable with sickness. In fact, you can't be comfortable because sickness itself will not make you comfortable. Are you hearing me? So you can't, do you understand? So never get comfortable with it. Never get comfortable with it. Never get comfortable. Never get comfortable with it. Never. Hallelujah. It only will take one for his stomach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That means Paul wants that situation to be dealt with. God wants it to, that situation to be dealt with. Paul, rather, wanted to be dealt with. So, this shows that sickness was not what they want to stay. They don't want sickness to stay. God abhors sickness. He doesn't want it at all. He doesn't want it for his children. No, God doesn't. He doesn't want it for anyone. God doesn't want sickness for anyone, even for his children. So at no time should a believer begin to give reasons, see reasons with sickness. No, at no time. At no time. Hallelujah. Look, Paul spoke to us about a brother, Epaphroditus, in Philippians chapter 2. That the guy was careless with his health. The guy was careless. This brother, who is actually a pastor, was careless with his health. Look at how Paul described it in verse 25 into 27 as we begin to round up. 25 into 27. He said, yes, I consider it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger. Who is that? Your angel. That's the word. Your angel, your messenger. And one who ministered to my needs, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard he was sick. He said, for indeed, he was sick almost unto death. Did you see that? He was sick almost unto what? Almost unto death. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. You see that? That is how it describes sickness. Sorrow. Sorrow, that which brings grief. When it says sorrow upon sorrow, is the word that means sorrow, one sorrow that leads to another sorrow. Do you see that? One sorrow that leads to another sorrow. Are you following me? So, he was sick. And Paul calls that sickness sorrow that leads to sorrow. Hallelujah. But look at how Paul described his healing. He said, God showed him mercy. God showed him mercy. And also on me. God showed him mercy. Why? Imagine that brother died. Paul said, would have been sold up for sorrow. Because ministry would have been hindered. So let me not use the word hindered. Ministry would have slowed down. It would have faced ministry. You know that. You know that. Hallelujah. You know that it will affect ministry. It will. It will. So it's not, it's something that they didn't allow. They don't want it around. They don't want it near them. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 4:20, Paul told us about a brother who he left behind. First, that is 2 Timothy 4:20. Then an Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left immediately to seek. He said, I have left Trophimus in fear to seek. That word left, the word is, I kept him behind because of his sickness. Because of his sickness, I left him behind. I left him because of sickness. So that means, sickness will not allow a man to do work of ministry. Did you see? It will hinder you from doing the work of ministry. That brother was hindered from that journey. Because he was sick. So sickness is not something that they treated lightly, no. Because they know it will hinder ministry. They know it will hinder ministry. Hallelujah. This is why James, in James 5:14, will say, is there any sick among you? Like as if you are not supposed to fall sick. Therefore, is there any sick among you? Say, let him call for the elders. Let him call for the elders. Did you see that? Let him call for the elders. Because sickness is what we must deal with immediately. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let them pray, anointing him with oil. Glory to God.
We look at all those shortcomings. Hallelujah. Come on, hear that. So, sickness is what they need to handle on time.
Glory to God.
Look at the way we are reading it. You know, there are people that will read all these things together. What you've read, and they will use it to say, even in the Bible, people too fancy. You know, some people can read and interpret it like that. And now you have it as a reason why they should be sick. That even the Bible, Paul spoke about that guy that he was sick. Paul spoke about Timothy was sick. Do you get it? But look at the way we've interpreted it. That God doesn't want it. So they have to do something about it fast. Do you get it? They have to get to deal with it fast. They have to be dealt with immediately. Hallelujah. Never was it viewed as God bringing sickness. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Never was it viewed as God using sickness to humble them. No. They saw sickness as what needed quick attention. What needed to leave their bodies. Hallelujah. They saw sickness as an hindrance to the work. They saw it as an hindrance. They saw it as what is not of God that must be dealt with immediately. And this is the way I will see sickness. Don't allow it. You know, to go into this week, I tell you, don't allow sickness. Never get to a point where you begin to give reasons why sickness should stay. Never get to that point. Are you hearing me? Never get to that point. Never get to that point where you begin to give reasons why the body should fail, why you should be sick. No. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's just stupidity. When someone, you know, most times when people are coming for exam, they will not be praying for their child to be sick or for them to fall sick. Child, something, something. Let something just happen. Let fire just burn in the hostel. Or fire just burn in the faculty. Let the lecturer just be burned. Somehow. Hallelujah. Is the God of glory. Sickness is not what the church allow at any point. At any point, they didn't allow it. They didn't allow it. The Bible shows us in Acts 9 that even Peter's shadow was healing the sick. Right? That is Acts 5. In Acts 9, Peter went to see Tabitha. And the sickness was something that they didn't allow to stay. Hallelujah. Didn't allow to stay. Didn't allow to stay. They didn't allow me to stay. A brother is sick and they say, you see, they didn't allow me to stay. Don't allow me to stay. Do you understand me? Don't allow me to stay. Don't allow me to stay. God doesn't like it. Do you understand? Glory to God. Glory to God. God doesn't like it. So therefore, I must renew my mind with this truth. That's it. Sickness is not what God allows. I must renew my mind with this truth. Have the right thinking. Have the right thinking about it. Have the right thinking about it. I should not allow myself, I should not get engaged with wrong talks concerning healing. I should not get engaged criticizing healing. No. If I have, I repent of it today. Do you get it? You repent of it today. You repent of it today and you have the right positive confession towards healing. Healing is mine. Oh yeah. Healing is mine. Glory to God. And you know, in all these things that we've read, did you see where, at any point in time, where they discriminated against the doctors? No, they didn't. They didn't discriminate the doctors. They didn't fight the doctors. But yet, they make you see that God is a healing God. And remember I said, we're going to look at that. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at that too. Hallelujah. Does God fight science? No, God doesn't fight science. God and science work together. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. God doesn't fight science. God is not the opposite to science. No. God is in science. Hallelujah. Who will see that? Hallelujah. We work together. Glory to God. So it doesn't mean, but what you should not put emphasis on is that do not put your strength, don't put your faith on doctors. Don't put your faith on drugs. No. No. Hallelujah. We'll begin to look at that next week as we see the individual case. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following?
Yes, sir.
My faith is in Christ. Jesus is the healer. God is a healing God. I will see God as a healing God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, there are some people who deny sickness. I used to say, you know, I'm strong. How are you, brother? I'm strong. You are looking like someone who wants to fall. I know I'm strong. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Are you sick? No. Pastor said we should not confess sickness. Is it here to say that? Then I did I say we should confess sickness? Did you see? Nobody asked how are you? I'm fine. Are you fine? I'm strong. There's not only strong. It's right. Not only strong. Leave that thing. Hallelujah. I am strong. Let me tell you, and I'm saying this, I'm very brother, but I'm trying not to call it. Remember your brother. I said, Jeremiah, how are you? Oh, I'm strong. I said, Jeremiah, you're not looking fine. I'm strong. Jeremiah, you're not fine. He has got to be with the Lord now. You're not fine. I'm strong. Until the day, I told Jeremiah, faint it. And we're not smoking, just slumped. They rush to the hospital. And I said, Jeremiah, remember I was asking you yesterday, how are you? You say you're strong. It's the man of God. The man of God. The man of God. See, whenever I teach on healing, those people who have heard me teach on healing, I always say something. I say, faith is not a denial of fact. Faith is not a denial of fact. I don't know if you have heard me say that before. I said that always. Faith is not a denial of fact. Hallelujah. But you know, you can just see. How did those people knew that they were sick? You know, before you even ask for healing, you know you are sick. Faith is not a denial of fact. But faith, though he talks the fact, but also expresses the supernatural. He says the fact, but you know, he expresses it. There's a word I wanted to use, but the word just left now. But I will get it before the end of this season. Hallelujah. Before the end of this series. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Though he states the obvious, but he also states much more the reality. Hallelujah. How are you? Oh, brother. Though I'm not feeling too strong, but, you know, the power of God is at work in me, effecting the cure and causing the change. Do you get it? You understand? Hallelujah. You do not deny the fact, but yet you state the power of God. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Though I'm weak in my body, but the power of God is working in me. Do you understand? Glory to God. You know? Hallelujah. How are you? Power of God. I'm strong. You know? Hallelujah. The power of God is working in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know God is. Hallelujah. He's the healing God. He's the healing God. Let us be on our feet and let's just thank him. Thank him.